We thank God for your being with us today on Black, what they call Black Saturday, or Easter Eve, or Holy Saturday. Let's stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. Those of you who are gathering around in churches on devices, feel free to stand as well, if the Lord would so lead you. Those of you who are concerned about lost loved ones and friends, invite them to tap in. Just send them the link. I don't know how to do it myself, but I know you need to send a link to make it easy for them to just click it so that they can hear the gospel. I thank God for all of you who love to hear the preaching of the gospel on a daily basis, but this becomes far more powerful and far more of a blessing to the world when we invite lost people to hear the preaching of the gospel. As I, by the grace of God, preach in your hearing, Easter according to the Nicene Creed, Part 6, which is a continuation from the message on yesterday. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 734, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1099, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, which many believe was the first creed. This is the first creed of the early church. Verse 1 reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren. If you have any doubt, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen or asleep or have died. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Holy Father God, as always, we are weak, and the truth of the matter is we are nothing without you, because you created us from nothing. And I know this hurts our feelings, but it is true. And Lord, we cannot do anything worthwhile without you moving. By your grace, your mercy, your love, the power of your Holy Spirit through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his life, his suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, especially on this weekend, but at all times. And we thank you for the gift and the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your holy word that reminds us that it is not by our might, it's not by our strength, our power, but by my spirit, your spirit, saith the Lord. And if your Holy Spirit does not move and work on the hearts of lost people, people who don't know you, they will never understand the gospel. And they will never be saved. For as one of your servants has stated, the world does not understand the gospel, and the church does not appreciate the gospel or the crucifixion as they should. Lord God in heaven, help us. And Lord, I know also that without the power of your Holy Spirit, things are not made real to us. Only you can impress it upon our hearts in a very real way. No matter how wonderful our illustrations are, our studied quotes are, only you can make it plain and understandable to the heart, to the point of application and change. And we pray that you would open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears. The gospel is a miracle, and the salvation of a lost soul is a miracle from you. So Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemies, the devil, the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and hindrance from this place. Help none of us to drop our guard. Help us always to keep at least one eye on that devil in the corner, because he's ready to pounce to try to hinder the gospel going forward. And help us to be sober-minded and vigilant throughout the remainder of this day, doing the afterwork that needs to be done after the gospel is preached. And help us all to remain and to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Glorify your holy name, we pray still, for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel and to be saved through this ministry, and millions more through other ministries. Help your servant preachers to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel, and help the millions of pastors, the thousands of pastors, to be faithful in not only preaching the whole counsel of God, but to also do the work of an evangelist, that others may hear the gospel and be saved. Forgive us of our sin of not even praying for to the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into the field, and we pray that today. And have your Holy Spirit to revive again dead Christians who used to be on fire for you, but they have gotten away from you. They have become backslidden. Their hearts have grown cold to the gospel and to your word and to church and to people. And we pray that you will speak to their hearts as only you can, and revive us all again, and help us to get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Dr. Raymond Ortland Jr. said, "The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be exact as to what he said, is today suffering humiliation among Christians by our conspicuous neglect of it." This is a shame. This is sad before God Almighty, because he's got his finger right on the problem. And that's the reason why I prayed the way I just prayed, because only God can help us. to get back to where we should be as Christians. We should not think, he said, well, of course we have the gospel. We already know that. Ho-hum. Such complacency will cost us dearly. Every generation of Christians must be retaught afresh and anew the basic truths of our Christian faith. Why, and I'm adding this, is because the devil is busy, the world is busy, sin is busy, even in our lives. The church, Dene, is always one generation away from total ignorance of the true gospel, and we today are making rapid progress toward that ruinous goal. Rather than callously assume the gospel, my beloved, we must aggressively, deliberately, and passionately teach and reteach, preach and repreach, if you will, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. End of quote. Amen, somebody. Let us not be foolish into thinking that just because it was preached in the past, it does not need to be preached now. We thank God for God's servant Billy Graham, who preached the gospel, the unadulterated gospel, for many years. And we thank God for his grandson, who I always thought was more like his grandfather than Franklin as far as preaching ability. My sons and I went to hear Billy Graham's grandson preach the gospel in a Texas town, a small Texas town. And they say that gifts and talents and certain things skip a generation. And I saw how that Franklin's, he was skipped over because his son can flat preach the gospel. We thank God for Franklin and what he's doing with Samaritan's Purse. But his son preaches more like his grandfather. And I bring that up because news came out this week that he preached a crusade, and I know people don't like to hear that word today. He preached an evangelistic campaign in the Philippines, which I've had the privilege of preaching in the past as well. And over 19,000 decisions were made for Christ. And that's good news. Amen, somebody. So we thank God for a family that the grandfather preached the gospel like no other. And now the grandson is preaching the gospel as well. That's good. That's how it ought to be. This generation needs to hear it, just like the previous generations. And now the grandson, he's going to have some different singers. He's not going to have the same singers that Billy Graham had that bored many to tears, but God used them. Be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Joe Rigney said, Jesus is like us but different. Jesus' body was buried like ours, but it did not decay. Amen, somebody. He said Jesus' soul went to hell like the Old Testament saints to Hades, but wasn't abandoned there. Can you imagine being abandoned in hell? My God, help us. God raised him from the dead, reunited his soul with a now glorified body, so that he is the first fruits of the resurrection harvest. And this is good news for us, because those in Christ now bypassed the land of forgetfulness, where no one praises God. Instead, when we die, we join with the angelic choir and the saints of old to sing praises to the Lamb of God who was slain for us and our salvation. End of quote. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, on this, what is called by many Holy Saturday, or Black Saturday after Good Friday, or Easter Eve, Danae, on this Holy Saturday of Holy Week, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, that is the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today. In fact, what we just read from the Holy Bible was really the first creed of the church, many believe. And now we come to the Nicene Creed, which was created during the early church years because, or written during the early church years because people were lying on the gospel. People were causing confusion about the gospel. And the true saints of old wanted something that people can quote and hide in their hearts, along with the Word of God, to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. The Nicene Creed. Not only are we talking about the power of Easter and Resurrection Sunday, as some of us call it, but we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church, how that we as Christians who are falling away today, falling away from it, ought to return to it, and how that the world ought to hear it so they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not aware of it as we should be, we're not reminded of it, we have never been taught about the true faith, and we act like we don't believe it, then how will the world hear and understand? Now, regarding the history of the Nicene Creed, Dr. Ken Collins said the church formulated the Nicene Creed before it issued an official list of the books of the New Testament that were already in use as Holy Scripture. Another way of looking at it is that God chose the people who were bound by the Nicene Creed to affirm the contents of the New Testament, thereby endorsing the theology of the creed. The Nicene Creed is therefore a reliable test of our interpretation of the New Testament. It is not on the same level as the Word of God, and that's why it can be changed and amended as we have done. If we are at variance with the Nicene Creed, we are in error. We are at variance, they believed, against the Word of God. And so, beloved, in this series, we have looked at the first two sections of the Nicene Creed, which read, and which says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, and I say wonderfully written. And today we will continue looking at the next section of the Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He, Jesus, was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. Ladies and gentlemen, these words remind us of the first Good Friday, which to those who lived through it would have seemed like a very dark day, indeed, as we talked about on yesterday. Certainly not a day to celebrate or call good. Unfortunately, as Dr. Eric Gunger wrote a few years ago, Good Friday isn't always noticed by modern Christ followers. And this is why Protestant churches, Bible-believing churches, I've said this before and I'm going to keep on saying it, evangelical churches need to take their churches through a course in church history, because there are elements from other churches than our own that we have gaps about and that we're missing, because this is so true. As an evangelical, if you will, a Bible-believing Christian, for years, we did not do anything regarding Good Friday, the day Jesus died. It was just Easter. And that's fine, but Good Friday is important as well. Black Saturday is important. The entire Holy Week from Sunday to Sunday is important. And we need to know about these things. He goes on to say, in fact, it is the least attended service on the Christian calendar. It is not respected as it should be. It's not appreciated as it should be. Some churches don't even have a Good Friday service at all. Stores don't even close down as they do for Christmas. Contra-wise, he goes on to say, and I'm adding some things, as I always do, Easter has the highest attendance. And that's great. It appears we love to think about the hope of the resurrection without attending to the messiness of the cross. This is why Dr. Tony Evans said that the world does not understand the cross, and the church does not appreciate the cross as she should. He goes on to say, Gunger, but the truth is there would have been no Easter without a Golgotha. Amen, somebody. But isn't that how we are as Christians? We don't want to suffer with Christ. We just want to reign with Christ. We don't want to bear our cross. We just want to fly away and be at rest. If Jesus had not died, my beloved, if he had not been crucified, his coming into the world would have been in vain. From the words of the Nicene Creed, we see three important facts that breaks it down, and that's all a creed is. It just breaks it down so that everybody puts it on a lower shelf so that everybody can get it and hide it in their hearts and remember it like that. It's okay. It's all right. If you go to Barnes & Noble, you'll see a bunch of books. But they have a rack. They have a bunch of history books and biology books and all kinds of books. Thick. Expensive. But they have a rack over in the corner that breaks it down. Breaks the whole subject down on one sheet. And it's sort of like a creed. With one sheet, we can bring up what the whole New Testament teaches in detail. And that's good when you are trying to witness to people, to have that in your heart. I used the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed in our family devotions, along with reading hefty parts of the Word of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because I wanted my children to understand how to express their faith clearly and succinctly. If you will, to be able to give an elevator presentation of the Christian faith. From the words of the Nicene Creed, we see three important facts about the coming of Jesus Christ to the world, who is the focus of Holy Week. First, we see the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Through him all things were made. John chapter 1 tells us that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen, somebody. The Son of God was with the Father in creation, in the creation of the world. He was there. Hence the Son has the same authority and lordship over the world as the Father does. However, Jesus' lordship extends beyond the general to the specific, beyond the cumulative to the individual, beyond the universal to the personal. We see this in John 20:28, when the disciple Thomas meets the risen Savior and declares, "My Lord and my God." We often, Dene, refer to Jesus Christ as the suffering servant, especially in light of Good Friday. We often speak of how he was whipped, beaten, spit on. A pastor right now is in trouble because he allowed the teenagers in the church to stab him with a knife and to spit on him and to whip him. I think that is, as so many people think, that's unnecessary because Jesus already did that. And by the way, over in the Philippines and other places, I feel sorry for these people who do it every year. They're placed on a cross and have real rods and nails driven through their hands. I feel sorry for them because Jesus did all of that for us. You really don't have to do that. And contrary to what people think, the reason why we call the darkest day in history Good Friday is because, my beloved, it is a celebration. I would encourage all Christians who know Christ as Savior to celebrate from Friday through Sunday. This is the time to kill the fatted calf. We don't have to go through what Jesus went through. That's why he died. I assure you that God does not want that pastor to let the teenagers in the church to spit on him and to cut him with a knife. God does not want our dear Filipino brothers to be crucified all over again. Jesus did that for us a long time ago. We don't have to suffer like him in that way. We can celebrate and give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. This is a celebration of what God has done for us in sending his only begotten Son to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried and to rise again. And so, my beloved, we often speak of how he was whipped, beaten, spit upon, jeered at, and mocked. But that only heightens the stark contrast of him being the Lord of all. It was his creation that rejected him. You talk about betrayal. The people he created abandoned him, betrayed him, and killed him. So for those of you who have been betrayed by family members, and those of you who have Judases in your life, stop creating pity parties for yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody has been more betrayed, has had more Judases, who has more enemies than God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And they never did anybody any wrong. They've never hurt anybody. They've only helped. They did everything they could to save us. Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. In St. John 13:13, Jesus Christ told his disciples, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." In Acts 2:36, Peter is preaching before a crowd in Jerusalem just after Pentecost, and he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Jesus' lordship is not dependent on our acceptance of his lordship. Please don't fool yourself. Even while he hung naked, bloodied, between the earth and the sky, he was the Lord of heaven and earth. And Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. said, "We make the foolish mistake of thinking that when enough souls decide to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, that he will become the Lord of all things. The reality is that Jesus is already Lord over all things. His kingdom, strictly speaking, does not expand, for even now it knows no borders. He does not therefore engage in some sort of power-sharing arrangement with other pretenders to his throne, whether they be false deities or those who falsely worship them. His lordship is not something we accomplish, It is something we recognize and submit to. It is not something we negotiate. It is something we proclaim. And by the way, for just a reminder, as that quote has ended, God, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, will not share his glory with anybody. And that includes us. Please never forget that. Jesus did not set aside his lordship when he came to earth. Rather, he chose to make himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men by choice. Jesus did not abdicate his throne. He merely set aside his glory for a little while so that he could identify and save lost souls. While he was on earth, he was still God Almighty. He was still the Lord of the universe. And he demonstrated that lordship by healing the sick, casting out devils, calming stormy seas, raising the dead, multiplying food for thousands, and opening the eyes of the blind. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is God, Emmanuel, with us. And most importantly, he demonstrated his lordship over the powers of sin, death, Satan, and darkness by triumphing over them through the cross. Secondly, today we see the coming of Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven for us and for our salvation. In John 6:51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." He says, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Ever since the Old Testament, prophets predicted that the Messiah would come. The people of Israel had been waiting expectantly for his arrival. Dr. Rick Rinkin said, "God tells us in Isaiah that he alone knows the future, and he tells it to us to prove that he is real and that the Bible is his word." This is called prophecy. The creed contains 9 examples of things that were foretold and later happened. The following of Jesus Christ is one. The coming, rather, of Jesus Christ is one of those things. The Old Testament prophecies regarding the birth of Jesus Christ provided hope for the people of Israel as they lived through the exile, as they went back to their homeland, and as they waited through 400 silent years. For us today, the prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ form a trail of truth and evidence which verifies the claims of Christ and upholds the real meaning of the Christian faith. It is our blessed hope. If Jesus Christ had not come, we would have no faith, we would have no salvation, and we would have no eternal life and no hope. And so, ladies and gentlemen, because most of the members of the early church were Jewish, they were able to appreciate Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah of the Jews and the Savior of the world. We see this appreciation in the reaction of Anna and Simeon when Joseph and Mary brought the infant Jesus to the temple. They both had long awaited the Messiah and expressed great joy at finally seeing him. Aren't you glad on Black Saturday that God keeps his promises? And just like he kept all of his other promises, he's going to keep the promise about Jesus Christ coming back in the rapture and in the second coming. That's why on this Saturday, you need to keep hope alive. And this dovetails with our other series dealing with the second coming of Christ, titled How to Hope, based upon the hope the Israelites carried on looking for the Savior, the Messiah. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. The promised Savior came, and each of us today receive benefits and blessings because of him. Lost people don't realize it. People who have never trusted Christ as Savior, they don't reap all of the benefits, but they reap some because of the Christians who do believe in him. All around the world, he totally changed the world. Thirdly and lastly, we see the embodiment of God in Jesus Christ. That is what the creed, the Nicene Creed, means when we read he became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. All of us are familiar with John 3:16. If you watch a football game, you'll see it in the end of the end zone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 goes on to say, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When God saw that man continued to sin and rebel against his authority and against his law, against his word, he could have very well decided to give up on trying to save us, but he didn't. He made a personal sacrifice by coming into the world and incarnating himself in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. My God, what kind of love is this? You will never experience a love like this if you don't trust Christ as Savior. I am still amazed at it after 40 years. I still can't get my head around the love of God. If I could sing, I would sing the hymn right now titled, The Love of God. Speaking rhetorically, the writer of Proverbs 30 says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Of course, at the time these words were written, no one knew the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah. But today we are blessed to know the name of this man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, and to see God himself revealed through him. Dr. Matthew Henry said, we must now exalt Christ as one revealed. They, the Jews, magnified him as one concealed, as one they had heard something about, but had very uncertain ideas of. But he's revealed now. And we look back, and we look up, and we look forward. Keep hope alive. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, the embodiment of God in Jesus Christ allows us to grasp that which is ineffable. The person of God is revealed in his incarnate Son. Carnegie Simpson said, "The face of Christ does not show us everything, but it shows the one thing we need to know, the character of God." God is the God who sent Jesus. When Jesus came to earth, he came to unite sinful man to God. He came into the world to save sinners like you and me. That salvation involved severe physical suffering, pain, and the shedding of blood and death. Yet Jesus still put on a cloak of mortal flesh and took care of everything necessary for a lost soul to be saved, for your soul to be saved. The once for all sacrifice of Christ. Yea, the once for all sacrifice of God Almighty is the only means by which man can be saved. So this Easter weekend, this Black Saturday, this Good Friday, we celebrate Jesus as the Lord of all, the promised Messiah and Savior of the world, and the embodiment of God for the benefit of man. Sister Fanny Crosby wrote many years ago, "Shout for joy, ye holy throng. Christ the Lord is King. Angel harps the sound prolong. Christ the Lord is King. Shout for joy, ye nations all. Christ the Lord is King. Crowns before his throne shall fall. Christ the Lord is King. He who rent the boasting grave, Christ the Lord is King. He who lives the lost to save, Christ the Lord is King. Shout for joy, ye realms of night, Christ the Lord is King. Hail the beams of gospel light, Christ the Lord is King." Do you know him? Do you know the King of Kings? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of all of your sins? Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know him, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, so that you can be saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell, torment in an eternal hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. Everybody is dirty. I don't care how pretty you are, or how handsome you are. I don't care how much money you have. We're all filthy and dirty and sinful in God's sight. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to a devil's hell. For you see, God did not create hell for you and I. He created hell for the devil and his angels. However, if we live like the devil and act like the devil and reject Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we will go to hell with the devil. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any of the prophets in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loved us and he was warning us of what will happen to us if we don't trust him as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ said it is a place of darkness and gnashing of teeth because of the pain. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you if you're still living. That includes you if you're living in this world. "That he gave his only begotten Son," he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time, no matter what you have done, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish and go to hell, "but have everlasting life in heaven." So all you have to do according to Jesus Christ is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins on Good Friday, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God on Good Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "And thou you shalt be saved." Receive this free gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to work in the church or for the church or do good deeds to get saved. All of that stuff is good after you get saved. But you don't have to do any of that to get saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Christ into your heart through prayer and faith. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So pray with me the sinner's prayer or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. As someone helped me, I'm here to help you. Get saved. Trust Christ as Savior. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner by choice and by nature. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have told many lies. I have lusted after people and things and have been envious and wanting what other people have. I have stolen things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I've taken your holy name in vain, and I have committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, my faults and my failures. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins and save my soul. As I now believe, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins on Good Friday, was buried, and rose on the third day, Good Sunday. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and you received him as your Savior into your heart, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you to grow. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you. And may God bless you real good. And if you're not attending a church someplace tomorrow, come and be with us wherever you are in the world, as I'll be preaching a message that will be absolutely amazing. And you'll learn some things and see some things that you probably have not heard before. So come and be with us. God bless you. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why.